Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and we're so sorry that we've had this delay in coming on air with you, but I want you to know that we have been trying to get through to Ireland. Yes, trying to get through to Ireland, and we just haven't been able to get through the phone lines. So we finally said, forget it. We're going to contact some people, and hopefully they will be able to get a hold of my guest, Owen Fitzpatrick. We're going to be talking about Richard Bandler, who is the father of NLP. And Owen is just terrific, but I don't know why. We just have these challenges with these international phone lines. So we're going to just sort of punt, and we're going to see if we can reach Richard. It's about 11 o'clock at night over there, and he's probably sitting by the phone waiting for us to contact him, and we just are not able to get through. So while we're trying to make that connection with Owen, let me just share with you some thoughts that I came across that I really think are appropriate, especially with today's times when we're dealing with all kinds of challenges. And I was talking with someone in Hawaii just a short time before I came on the air, a client that I've known for many years, and he said, oh, you know how tough it is. We just are having such challenges over here in the islands because of the economic situation. And I thought to myself, life constantly is a challenge. I don't care what generation you talk to. If you talk to someone that was in World War I, you look at their challenges. You talk to someone that was in the Korean War, you see their challenges. Every generation, no matter which one you talk to, has challenges that they have to face. So risk is a part of life, isn't it? Well, I came across a wonderful quote that I really, really liked, and I thought I would share it with you to start off the show today. To laugh is to risk appearing the fool. To weep is to risk appearing sentimental. To reach out for another is to risk involvement. To expose feelings is to risk exposing our true self. To place your ideas, your dreams, before the crowd is to risk loss. To love is to risk not being loved in return. To live is to risk dying. To hope is to risk despair. To try it all is to risk failure. Well, you know, they say if you risk nothing, you're safe. Is that really true? Because I have a notation from someone else that says, the person who risks nothing, one, accomplishes nothing, two, has nothing, three, feels nothing, four, and in the end, becomes nothing. Risk is a part of life. If you are afraid to go out of your door, you're going to be in a problem. Do we have our guest? Do we have Owen on the phone?
We do, Donna. Yes, how are you?
Oh, Owen, I'm so glad to hear your voice. My goodness, we were having terrible time with the international phone lines, trying to get through.
Yeah, I know. Sometimes it can be a bit tricky, all right.
Oh, it is just absolutely amazing. Well, while we were waiting for, and I was just keeping my fingers crossed that we were going to be able to reach you, I'm so glad we have been. I want my audience to know that you have been a man that has walked parallel in your own experience with one of what would be considered the master teachers of neuro-linguistic programming. In fact, he's considered the father of same. And you're a psychologist, a psychotherapist, you're a hypnotherapist, and you've just traveled all over the world. How in the world did you get hooked up with Richard Bandler? What in the world drew the two of you together? What was it that was that magnetic attraction?
Well, I suppose the first thing is, I mean, I think, you know, Richard Banrock been teaching for the last 40 years, and I was lucky enough to attend a seminar when I was very young, when I was 17 or 18. And at the time, I was going through a patch where I was, you know, I was struggling with life. I was very depressed as a teenager. I was suicidal at one point, and life really wasn't making sense to me. I felt very alone, felt very, very down, and I had a lot of heartbreaking experiences just in terms of the way in which I related to people, and, you know, life just wasn't fair. And then I started to pull myself out of that, and along the way, I was looking for a lot of different approaches. And it was only in meeting Richard Bandler and learning at the seminar and applying the tools that he taught me that I was able to turn a lot of my life around. I was able to make great changes and create the kind of life that I wanted. And from there, I started to help him out at a lot of different trainings. And he obviously, fortunate for me, saw something in me and started to, you know, work with me. And, you know, we worked on the book together and we worked on a number of different projects. And I suppose that's how we connected, and I know that I've been exceptionally fortunate for that opportunity, and hopefully I've made Richard proud as well in terms of how I've done my best to apply his work in all the places I've been to.
Now, we're going to be talking today about your book, Conversations with Richard Bandler. Richard has been a guest on my show before, and these are conversations that you had with Richard where you were able to document the conversations and interactions that you were having with him. This was between the year 2002 and 2005. Now, Richard is so knowledgeable, and he's interacted in this medium for so many years. Why was he willing to say, okay, Owen, it's all right. You can do a book about these conversations. I don't mind at all. Why did you feel it was important to do it?
I think what happened was, initially at the very start, we never intended to do a book together. What used to happen would be he lived in Ireland for a while, in the west coast of Ireland, and I used to visit him quite a lot, and, you know, just for chats, and, you know, I used to help him out with different projects, and he used to help me out with things, and, you know, I just basically spent a lot of time with him, and he got to know me pretty well, and I asked him, could I do an interview with him to sort of help promote the website? So as I was asking him questions, whatever it was, we just got into talking about lots of different topics, and, you know, somewhere along the way, it went from an interview to the idea of a book, and that's how it started. So it never started as a book. It didn't, you know, it didn't start by one of us saying, okay, can we do a book? It was more like an interview that turned into a book. But we started going through all different topics, and basically I just got myself to the point where I said, if I could ask Richard anything, I mean, to me, Richard is one of the greatest geniuses of our time. I've seen a lot of different very, very intelligent people, and, you know, in traveling the world, I've met many gurus and shamans and some of the most fascinating people around. But Richard is truly a genius in terms of his knowledge and what he knows and how he's applied it and what he's created. So I wanted to ask him so many questions about so many different facets of life, and that's what I started to do. And I just recorded all the conversations, and, you know, and that thereupon came a book, and the book is based upon the conversations we had and the experiences I've had in applying the ideas Richard taught me and the ideas I've created myself, and, you know, applying them with clients in therapy, but also in my own life and my own struggles. And I think that's one of the things about the book, is that it's not one of the typical traditional self-help books, which is saying that, you know, I'm perfect, and if you do these five steps, you'll become perfect too. It's more a case of, you know, I wanted to be as brutally honest as possible, saying, look, I don't have all the answers. I believe Richard has a lot of the answers. And, you know, in applying the ideas that he's given me, this is what I've managed to do, and this is what you can do too. And hopefully the book has been able to share a lot of people, you know, that information with a lot of people.
I really liked the way the book started off because, and I was talking about before you came on the air, about risk and how there is no way in any generation that people have not experienced risk. Every generation, even today's generation, we've got all of these things going on. People are so frightened, and it's important for us to realize that if one person takes the initiative, and that's compounded with another person that takes initiative, then you've got the power of two, then you get the power of three, power of four, and it ends up creating a wave of change. And this is something that NLP does. This is something that I think, Richard, in teaching people like you and others, keeping it going and keep expanding its parameters. Because like you say, there is no one absolute way of doing anything, period. It's just as varied as there is form of life on this planet and then some. So this is part of a process. It's very usable, but freedom. Freedom. Define freedom as you perceive it.
Okay, as I perceive it, freedom, or as we call it, personal freedom, is the ability a person has to be able to choose the way in which they react to the world, their attitudes, their behaviors, their everyday habits that they have in order to, you know, communicate more effectively with people, and also how they are able to perform effectively in society. So, for example, a lot of people live trapped by the idea that life is unfair, trapped by the idea that we're not able to, you know, create the reality we want, trapped by negative beliefs, but negative feelings, negative habits. They're locked in their past, they're lost in the present, they're fearful of the future. And by being that way, they feel that this is just what life has given them. NLP teaches people, from a Richard's perspective, how to become free. He says NLP is all about freedom. It's about the ability you have to choose the way your thoughts are, to be able to choose the way your feelings become, the way you have the ability to choose how your actions can dictate your world. There's a great quote that has been in your February newsletter. As I was browsing through, you know, you mentioned, if you can design it and define it and act on it, then you will triumph. And I think that NLP is all about the freedom to be able to act on it. It's the how, which is missing in a lot of different fields. It's the ability that you have to choose what kind of life you want. And through the book and through Richard's teachings, I suppose the main idea is to share with people, look, you have a choice. This isn't just a simple case of, you know, you've got to accept the lot you have in life and just accept it. This is a case of being able to choose how you react to the world. And I know yourself, Donna, in a lot of the work you do, you teach people how they can use their own intuition and use their own mind and then use their own connection to the universe to be able to make a real, powerful, positive difference to their life. That's what Richard does so well. It's what I try to do through applying his teachings and my own, you know, insights in terms of the human mind or whatever, to be able to make a real difference for people. And I suppose it's trying to give out there to people that there is hope, and to teach them ways in which they can start to use their brain more effectively and they can choose this freedom.
I also like the factor that Richard endorses very, very strongly, and I'm very supportive of that, and that is dumping the blame game and being responsible for yourself. And I know that life dumps clump on everybody, and sometimes the clump is deeper and stinkier than somebody else's, but the truth is that there has to be that personal recognition that you are the one that must take that positioning so that you can empower yourself. And society and so many doctrines of thought are of a dispositioning that this is not, you know, everything else, this isn't your fault, you shouldn't do this. Well, it's not, don't blame, it's stepping away from the blame. What is something that someone can do to be able to be comfortable with dumping the blame game, Owen? I mean, this is one of the biggest hang-ups that I see people having.
I couldn't agree more. I think, Donna, that the key is to understand the importance of your attitude. And we're not talking here about just having a positive attitude. Positive attitude is you hope everything goes well. Negative attitude is you think everything's not going to go well. But a practical attitude is to be able to say, okay, here's the truth. If I think about things going well, if I take responsibility for what happens in my life, then I have control over it. It's like the difference between if someone says, I have depression versus I do depression. If you say, I have depression, it's like a thing inside of you. It's like you hope that it goes away. Right? A lot of times people come to me and they say, well, you know, I have panic attacks. They follow me everywhere. And I say, well, you know, I hope they didn't follow you here. And they laugh, but they don't realize that by talking about these things as if they're real things inside of them, they have to hope that these things decide to go away. And once you stop and you actually think about every problem that you have and you realize that you have the ability to change the way you feel about it, that gives you the perspective that you need to be able to take control. If you don't take responsibility, and as you said, if you play the blame game, if you allow yourself to just, you know, make excuses for things and say, well, the reason why I have problems is because of the recession, or the reason I have problems is because, you know, society is the way it is, or the reason why I have problems is because of the president, the reason why I have problems is this or that or the other. The more you do that, it might make you feel a little better by thinking that, oh, there's nothing I can do, so I've just got to accept it and get into the whole victim mentality. But it's not going to make any difference to your life. The real truth is that the people who succeed, if you look at anyone who succeeds or anyone who's happy in their life, they're happy for a reason. And the reason is because they've decided that they're going to be happy regardless. So even if there's a recession, they'll look at it in the most useful way. Even if they don't have the president they want, they'll look at it in the most useful way. Even if society doesn't treat them in the way that they initially wanted, they'll look at it in the most useful way, and they'll take responsibility, not because they should, and not because it isn't other, sometimes it is other people's fault, or sometimes it is society's fault. But that doesn't matter. Blaming them doesn't help you. You know, making excuses doesn't help you, even if you're justified. The most useful thing to do is to take responsibility, because once you take it yourself, then you have the ability to control it. Once you have the right attitude, once you take the right action, then you can start to make a huge difference to your life. But until you let go of this blame game, until you let go of making excuses and trying to find reasons as to why there are problems, you'll always be stuck in that. That's one of the departures NLP takes from traditional psychology. Traditional psychology says, you have a problem, and this is the diagnosis we're going to give you, and you will always live with this problem, so you just got to accept it. NLP says, look, you are not broken. This is a behavior that isn't working at the moment. This is a habitual thought pattern that isn't working at the moment. You need to change what you're doing, and you will change how you're feeling. And that's what NLP teaches you to do. And that's why I found, as a psychologist, NLP so refreshing, because it was so useful. It allows you to do something different. But it starts with you deciding you have to take control, and anyone can take control. I don't care if you're suffering in the worst possible way imaginable. Viktor Frankl, he's a man that was in the concentration camps in Nazi Germany. He was treated awfully, and he saw his family being killed. It went through an awful time. But regardless, he kept a positive attitude. And someone asked him, how do you do it when you see all the horrible things around you and you're treated so badly? And he said, they can take away everything from me except for one thing. And he said, that's the last of the human freedoms. He said, it's a person's own ability to choose their attitude in any given set of circumstances. The attitude you choose and the way you choose it, the responsibility you take for your life, will allow you to make amazing changes. And it was when I started to learn that very early on in my life, I was fortunate enough, it made a gigantic difference to the way my life turned out. And again, that's one of the things we try to share through the book and also through the trainings.
And there are so many different exercises that can be done in the book. There are thought-provoking questions that allow us to look at things with clarity. But it's not just thinking. It's also following through with action. But I like your chapters. You have a chapter on epiphany moments. You have what you call threshold points. And Richard found that with many people, when he asked them, what turned you around? What was it that made you decide that you weren't going to give up, or that you were going to fight? You were going to battle a situation. You weren't just going to succumb to it. What was it? Sort of like the Lance Armstrong story where he's told he has cancer and he's going, I'm still going to do the race. He's going to be out there, and he wins the race. His passion for life was so great. And someone who might come back and say, oh yeah, but for everyone like that, there's like 10,000 that don't make it. It's amazing how we can turn our minds away from our own power. And we can all have down moments. We're not always going to be on the top of the mountain all the time, because you always have to come down the mountain. But there are always new mountains. There are always new opportunities. And Richard, he said he found that two words were very significant. Never again. He found that when people had their turnaround moments, it's when they reached a point, they said, never again. Powerful stuff.
Yeah, I think one of the things about that, Donna, as well, is, you know, the one thing that a lot of people find is that they allow themselves to keep doing the same things over and over again, even though it doesn't feel good. And the reason is because a lot of us get kind of used to feeling bad, used to dealing with life in that particular way. And it's only when it gets to the extreme, it's only when it gets to, as Richard said, it's the never again moment where you get so much pain that you go, I can't do this anymore, I have to change. And unfortunately, it takes a long time before that actually causes a person to change. Through NLP, one of the things we do is we don't want people just to get to that point. We want people to provoke themselves through asking questions. So, for example, you know, one question might be, you know, if you had, like, for example, 30 days to live, what would you do? If you had 30 days left on this planet, if you imagine yourself at your own funeral, what are the things you want to be known for? If you imagine yourself at your own deathbed, what are the things you want to be remembering in your life? It's getting people to look at your life from a number of different perspectives. One of the things that's so important is that a lot of times we get caught in the rut of life. We don't think about life from a more spiritual level or from a higher level, looking down and thinking about our existence on the planet. And it's only when we get to a funeral of a loved one or a funeral of someone we know, and it gets us to think at the funeral, we think to ourselves, my goodness, you know, life is so short. It just shows you how important every moment is.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, then after a few weeks, we get caught back in the rut again. And I suppose one of the most important things I try to remind people of, which I remind myself of every day, is the importance of making every moment count. It's about saying to yourself, right, you know, this isn't something I want to keep doing. This isn't the life I want to live. And making sure that you live every single moment and every single day as if it's the most important day. I know it's a cliche, but it's something that if you remind yourself of it, then you get so much more out of life. You know, to me, I appreciate my life so much more than I ever have. I appreciate everything wonderful that I have in my life. And the funny thing is, the more I appreciate it, the more I attract it to me as well. And it's not just about, you know, moving forward, achieving goals. It's also about going, you know what, forget about the goals. What am I loving about my life at the moment? What's great for me? What am I attracting? What have I gotten? To hear, what are my achievements, what are my accomplishments? All those questions you ask yourself can make remarkable differences to the way in which you feel and to your life itself. And I suppose that's how you get yourself to a threshold point. It's getting yourself to the point where you can make a change, where you're motivated to make a change, and you don't have to have everything go wrong to do it. You can just ask yourself a few little questions which get you thinking about your life in a more spiritual and more holistic way. And that allows you to really grab life by the scruff of the neck and say, I want to live and I want to live happy.
You have an amazing story in your book about a woman who had been stalked by a real creepy jerk for 15 years. I read this story and I went, unreal. She did something. She hired an actor who was 97 years of age to finally get rid of this awful person. To be stalked for that many years, that's horrific. What happened so this was able to be turned around?
Well, I think one of the things about a lot of these, you know, and that was one of Richard's clients that he worked with a few years ago. And one of the things about Richard's approach is he's always doing something different. So, for example, when someone is stalked and when someone is going through that experience, one of the things that they need to do is their first instinct is to be able to turn around and to be able to try to stop the particular behavior from continuing to happen. But if it doesn't work, you know, there's a saying we have in NLP, which is in a lot of different fields, if what you're doing isn't working, you know, do something else.
Mm-hmm.
And it's vital that you start to look at that as simple as it is. What she was doing wasn't working, and what she needed to do was she needed to do something different. Richard's approach was getting an actor to come along and to basically turn things on its head. So what she did was she started to act really flirty, and she started to act the way in which the guy didn't want her to act. She started to act in a more sort of a more seductive way. And that actually changed the perspective of the guy who was stalking her. So instead of him getting the excitement out of her not wanting his advances, she changed her attitude towards it. And by doing that, that warded them off. And a lot of times it's doing what's counterintuitive that actually works.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time what we tend to do is, for example, when we have panic attacks, we tend to try to just relax. But the more you try to relax, the more you panic. And the idea is to be able to help people to see that the basic common sense way that we think should work doesn't always work. If it did, then every time you panicked, then a person could come along and say, hey, all you got to do is relax. And you go, okay, and try to relax. But it's not the way it works. You have to look always for what you're not doing. And that's one of the things that Richard did when he was working with schizophrenics in the psychiatric hospitals or when he works with clients. He will look for the thing that you haven't done, because a lot of times people will go to everyone else before they come to Richard or before, you know, they come to myself. And we have to look for what hasn't worked so far or what they haven't done so far, rather than trying the same old traditional, you know, ways of working. And it's always something that you don't expect that will allow you to get great changes, because it's thinking about things from a completely different perspective. It's about looking at things in a way that will help you, rather than looking at things in a way that you're used to.
Well, there's just so much in your book. One of your comments that you have in here, success is not the possession of the smart or capable. It is the product of thinking in certain ways and acting in certain ways. And I think the old adage of faking it till you make it is true, but there has to be that feeling that goes along with it. But what we do associate with, what we image in our minds, is so powerful. I was with someone just within the past couple of days that continues to hold an image in their mind. And in the conversation, it came out of something they experienced when they were a child and a habit pattern that they had formed. And here's this person in their 70s still doing the hiding game that they did when they were 6 or 7 years of age to survive an ugly environment. And they're in their 70s and they're still playing the hiding game, and they wonder why their life is miserable. It's amazing what we do to ourselves until we are willing to pay attention and to consciously and mindfully be attentive. Now, Owen, you're in Ireland. You travel all over the world. Is there a website people can go to?
Yeah, you can go to owenfitzpatrick.com. I'm going to be updating it in the next month or so and putting some products and stuff on there. But also nlp.ie. So that's owenfitzpatrick.com or nlp.ie.
nlp.ie you can go to, or owenfitzpatrick.com. Well, I know it's late at night for you in Ireland. I'm so pleased that we were finally able to reach you. And
too,
thank
Donna.
You so much for being my guest. Your book, Conversation with Richard Bandler, is thought-provoking. If you're a Richard Bandler fan, this gives you another perspective of Richard that maybe you've not had. But more than anything else, anything that can empower us as people to make us aware of the greatness that we have within ourselves so that it can be expressed is a win. And this book, Conversations with Richard Bandler, is exactly that. Owen, have a good evening. I wish you the best and continued success in all that you do. And thank you for being my guest today.
Thank you so much, Donna, for everything. It's been a real pleasure. And I look forward to speaking to you again at some time in the future. Thank you so much again.
You're more than welcome. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break for just a moment. We'll be back. Don't go away.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to DTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717. 1-800-342-0717. TTAP.com.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna. I know we've got a caller on the line waiting, but I want to give out our toll-free number, and I also have something to share with you before I go to our caller. The telephone number, if you'd like to call in to chat with me today, is 888-815-9756. That's our toll-free worldwide number. So if you want to chat with me, that's the number you call in to. Also, quick like a bunny, I want to mention a couple of things to you. Number one, if you have had a psychic experience or have experienced unique phenomena, whether it's out-of-body, ghosts, what have you, I'd love to have your story because I'm putting together a book. I'm working on it for the next year, and we're going to be compiling about 100 stories, and we would like to hear from you, your personal experiences. So if you want to send it to me, if you'd like to have the submission opportunity for being included in this book, send it to Donna@DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna@DelphiInternational.com. Be sure to put your contact information along with the email if you send it to me. You can also send it to me via snail mail. Send it to the Donna Sebo Show, and that's P.O. Box 9. 7272 Tacoma, Washington 98497. And I would love to hear from you. I just feel that it's important to put this book out. The more people know about experiences that people have gone through, I think the better that it is. Of course, I'll have some of my own experiences in there as well. But again, I invite you to send me an email or to send it via snail mail, and I look forward to including you in the book. Now, if you're in the Pacific Northwest, know the Northwest Women's Show is coming up March 5th, 6th, and 7th. This is such a dynamic event. I love it. I've been participating in the Women's Show for years, and every year it just gets better and better and better. Over 400 vendors, and there are seminars. I'm going to be presenting some seminars. I just found out on Saturday and Sunday, which is the 6th and 7th, I'll be speaking at 11:30 in the morning, and I'm going to be talking about your inner psychic mirror. That's right. That's going to be my theme. Also, I'm going to be doing a six-woman forum on Friday from 1, and that's March the 5th, from 1 until 4. The first hour, we have two great speakers about money and how to work with it in business and identity theft. The second hour is going to be about energy healing. Two wonderful speakers there. And then the third hour is going to be dedicated to animals. So we are just going to have this wonderful grouping of women, and I invite you to come and participate. But the Women's Show, to find out more about what's going on, the ticket prices, all of the details, how to get to the Quest Convention Center in downtown Seattle. They've got directions, parking, all kinds of information there for you. Go to thenorthwestwomensshow.com. This is an annual event. Schedule it on your calendar. Tell your mom, your family, your girlfriends. Just make it a girl party. Come on out, have your good walking shoes on, and be prepared to shop till you drop. It is so much fun. And I'm in booth 407. Stop by, say hello. I am going to have a whole bunch of books there, but also I am going to be available for many consultations with people as well. So in my newsletter, there will be more information. I'm going to be sending out a mini note so that I'll have the details about the talks that I'll be doing. But come on out. It's absolutely wonderful, and that is the Northwest Women's Show in Seattle, Washington, March 5th, 6th, and 7th. Hope to see you there. Let's go to our caller. Welcome to the show. First name or initial. This is Lisa, I believe. And where are you calling from, Lisa, in Michigan?
Farmington Hills.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you, dear.
Farmington Hills.
Farmington Hills. Have you got still some snow there in Farmington?
Yeah, it's snowing now. We had 6 inches today, and I guess there's supposed to be another 4 overnight. So
wow.
We're having a good time.
Well, I am just going to be so tickled to tell you, we have sunshine in the Pacific Northwest. We are having the warmest winter. It's amazing. My neighbor was telling me this is the warmest winter we've had since 1937 in the Pacific Northwest.
Well, you're well deserving of it.
Yes. Well, before you know it, the snow's going to melt and you're going to have all those beautiful flowers. Michigan is so beautiful.
Oh, for sure.
It's just,
for sure.
Just part of what comes with being in whatever part of the country that you're in. It's fascinating. Okay, Lisa, let's get down to business with you. The first thing that I am looking at is the word discipline. And there is no way to shortcut this. You must be disciplined. And there are 4 areas of project, I'll use that word. 4 projects you want to focus on. 2 have to do with your own personal well-being. The other 2 have to do with finance as well as something with the family. So you've got projects here that you know you need to take care of, and I just want to say focus is most important. And if you have to do a to-do list, and if you're like me, your to-do list is never ending, but if you will take your first 2 priorities on your to-do list and look at that and say, this has to be done now, boom, and then you go and you take another 2. Don't try to do 500. Just do 2, and you're going to find yourself being able to get a clarification and an organization going. This is important. It is so important because you feel like you're being pushed up against the time wall, and you feel like it's taking all of your energy. You just get so scattered, and you say, I've just got to get out of this. I want to break this cycle. Take 2 projects or 2 focuses or 2 levels of focus, I should say, at a time. Don't overburden yourself, and you're going to whack this right into place. The situation that involves family, you cannot control it all. Do not try. If you need help, ask for it. If you are really in a dilemma where you need clarity, ask for clarity. Don't be afraid to bring someone in to assist you. There's no value to having excess pride if you don't have to have it. If something needs to be taken care of, clarity needs to be made, and you need someone to assist you, again, accept the help, ask for it, listen, and take it in stride. What question do you have for me today?
Well, a lot of what you said struck a record I could think of in myself, so that's a good thing.
Well, thank you. And, good.
Yeah, and one of the things is that I'm trying to get myself in my routine of how I used to be with myself, and that means getting up every morning and doing my exercises and putting myself first and not wanting to sleep because I feel like I got in a little bit of a depression or I'm trying to get myself out of that. And I want to ask you, do you see me being successful at doing that and losing some weight?
Oh, absolutely. Let me give you some suggestions. In Michigan, I don't know about you, but here in the Pacific Northwest, because we're in the northern area of the country, it's so dark. And many times to get up in the morning, now we're beginning to have longer daylight hours. But I don't know about Michigan, but here in the Pacific Northwest, it is so black in the morning. If you can get yourself a full spectrum light, that you can have in your environment, or you change your bulbs in your house, like when you turn on the light in the morning, you have full spectrum light, that'll help you. That'll energize you, believe it or not. But also look at getting a clock. Try to find one. I'm sure you can find it on the internet, where when the alarm goes off for you in the morning, where it actually will project the light that will fill the room over a, let's say over a few minutes.
Well, you'll laugh at what I did. I put a timer on my lamp so it goes off, like turns itself on like a half hour before the alarm goes off to help me get myself going.
Great. Well, you're doing what I'm perceiving is going to really help you. And what that does, it gets the various hormones in the body working. And lots of times when we have depression, we're not aware that when we're in the darker environments, that there's a reason for that, and Mother Nature has equipped us so we're sort of like bears. You know, if it's dark and cold out, we want to hibernate. That's not unusual. So for you to use light like you're doing, I compliment you. That's wonderful. That's a great idea. And just use music, too. Like if you have something that you can turn on that really is going to, maybe a cha-cha or a mambo or something in the morning, that's, oh, you're just going to say, I don't believe that I'm listening to this. You know, you're trying to wake up. But if you have something that's happy music for you, then that'll be a stimulus. But the light is one of the biggest keys. So,
okay.
Yes, you will do it. And just know it's just one day at a time, hon. One day at a time. And make sure, if you're like me, you get the munchies and you want something crunchy, so fix yourself a bunch of carrots, you know, peel them, and then chop them into little pieces and maybe celery or anything that's crunchy and put them in a bowl of ice in your refrigerator or ice water with a few ice cubes so you can pull it out and have it nice and cold and crunch and munch, and you're not taking in many calories, but you're just, you know, your mouth is moving and you're munching away on something.
Okay. So in other words, you do see me losing the weight.
Yes, but remember, it's going to take you some time. And you, if you can find a support group or a buddy that can work with you on this, just do it in the way that's going to work best for you. But yes, you'll be successful. Take it one day at a time.
Okay. Well, thank you. And
you're
take care, and God bless everybody and yourself.
Well, thank you so much, and good luck to you. And keep in touch with me. Let me know how you're doing.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right, Lisa. Bye-bye. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to take a break for a moment, and then we'll be back. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedrose. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. We've got a caller on the line waiting, and I'm going to be getting to her in just a moment. But I did quickly want to let you know, tomorrow we're going to have on Dr. Craig Martin. We're going to be talking about elementary love styles. We're going to get into a little bit of astrology and some fun stuff. And, hey, Valentine's is this weekend, so it's just right in timing and a good, just perfect. And then on Thursday, we're going to be talking with Anthony Flacco. This book is called The Road Out of Hell. It's a true story. It's about a serial murder, a murderer. It is about a family. I mean, it's just something. If ever it would be made into a movie, you'd say, no, this can't be real. This just can't be real. It is. Anthony did a phenomenal job of investigative journalism. So he's going to be with me on Thursday. And then we're going to be talking more about relationships. Make up, don't break up. Dr. Bonnie Wheel is going to be my guest on Friday. Well, let's go back to Michigan. Katrina is on the line with us. Hello, Katrina. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you.
Now, Katrina, where are you calling from in Michigan?
Cedar Springs.
Cedar Springs?
Yes.
Wow. Okay. Well, let's get down to business with you. The first thing I'm looking at, Katrina, is you have a natural gift for writing. When I'm watching you, I'm seeing you having the knack of the storyteller, and I would say a good investment in a laptop of a type that you could take with you wherever you go. You know, a good netbook. My goodness, they've come down so much in price, and they've got so many bells and whistles. It's absolutely wonderful. But I think you need to have something that's portable, because lots of times you like going into places where you can just sort of be by yourself. It could be a library. It could be a Starbucks. It could be just anywhere. And if you had your little computer and you just watch and you're just typing away, it is a wonderful way for you to be able to deal with what you feel are the loop-de-loops in your life. And it allows you to journal. It allows you to be creative with your fingers and your mind in a way that I think is just terrific. And I'd say get something that's lightweight that you can take with you. You know, now they've got them down to anywhere between a pound and a half to 2.5 pounds in weight. And just have your own little satchel. It's a great way for you to allow your creative juices to flow. You have also a wonderful, wonderful way with people. And I think when anyone is a good storyteller, they realize the value of words, and you're so selective about your words and how you use them. And I want you to be aware that you need to be just as thoughtful towards yourself as you are towards others. You have a tendency to be very harsh on yourself, very critical. And I want you to give yourself some elbow room these next 2 to 3 weeks. You've been going through some very, very difficult cycles that have caused you to feel challenged, and you're coming out of them, and you're just saying, I'm so glad 2009 is past. 2010, I've still got some things I've got to work through. You're correct. You do, but you're doing a good job, and I want you to just be patient with yourself. Don't beat yourself up over the head. You are doing a good job. Do your writing, because your writing expresses so much, and if you want to get into poetry, do some poetry. Whatever works, but I see this fantasy in your mind. I'm watching it just play out here. And I think it's elegant. I think it's wonderful. So go for it. Do you have a question for me today?
I do, my daughter was recently on Halloween night in a car accident, and she has a C6 spinal cord injury, and now the doctors have been telling us that she will never walk again, but I just have faith in God that he's going to give her her miracle, and I'm just wondering if you could possibly see that for her in the future.
Okay, how old is your daughter right now?
16.
She's 16, okay. This is going to be a lot of work. There are some specialists that have been doing some very, very advanced work with muscles and the nervous system. And what I'm getting in my mind is that you and maybe some people that you know can do some research. You may need to have two or three of you researching on the internet. But I'm looking at some neurologists, and there are some other specialists, and they are developing processes so that the cellular memory that has been affected in the neurological system, the connection between it and the brain, can be rebuilt. Your daughter is young enough where a certain kind of work and a certain kind of therapy, but there's also going to be some additional surgery. Now, this is cutting edge. This is not something that I think is common knowledge. This is still in a research capacity. But I am looking at some work being done in Europe, and I'm seeing someone apparently in Boston and New York, some people that are really working on this. And I would say use the internet to the best of your capacity regarding spinal injuries and paralysis and the latest techniques. Now, she is going to need to work with someone. They'll have a particular regimen that she would have to do. But you've got a very intelligent daughter. But this is something that is quite complex. And it is something that is workable, but the body has to be retrained, totally retrained. So the patterning that have to be reestablished between the neurological system and the brain, this is something, again, that is so sophisticated, but I am seeing it coming about. I think in 10 or 15 years, the accomplishments that they'll make in this direction are absolutely going to be amazing, especially when it comes to computer chips that will be able to be utilized within the body. And I do think your daughter, believe it or not, will be able to walk again. But it is not going to be in the way that is expected. So there is really something there. Now, is she able to move her arms? I'm looking at a mobility with her in her upper torso.
Yes, she does.
All right. Yes. I would say anything that could be done here that will make the body move. And if it means that she does swimming, if it means that she does exercise, but there has to be some research on this. And I really wish I could tell you exactly where you could go. I do not know, and I'm not getting the information in mind. But what I am getting is that there are a select group of, it's a combination of physical therapists, surgeons, and they are very specialized. And they're trying to work also with a level of robotics. But your daughter is young enough where the body can actually develop cellular links into the brain. I wish I were more specific. I'm not a scientist. I'm not a physician. But I'm just watching this stuff in my head.
Mm-hmm.
So there's...
I can understand what you're saying.
Well, I'm glad you can. But it's really going to take a lot of work and a lot of effort.
Right. Actually, I was looking into locomotion training for my daughter. And it's kind of like what you were saying. There's been a path missing between neurological and the brain.
Mm-hmm. And it has to be reestablished. It's not unlike what stroke victims have, but hers is different. because it's as if something was seriously cut.
Okay.
And again, as young as she is, she's got a lot going for her, but there's no shortcuts here. But the body must be kept moving. And I would encourage her to do a lot of visualization, you know, watching films on moving, on running, because what she wants to do is enable the mind-body connection to be established. There's just so many phenomenal things that are going. I'd also check and see if there's anything, you know, Christopher Reeves, who was, believe it or not, he was able to walk for a little bit in water. But of course his poor heart gave out. But the man had been able to make some progress. Your daughter can make progress too, but you need to find out what the latest research is on this, what people are doing. And I think contacting the organization associated with Christopher Reeves may be a very good beginning spot.
Yeah, yep. Actually, that's where I heard of the locomotion training was through his internet site.
Mm-hmm. Well, research that and some others.
Okay. Hurry, I sure will. So you don't have a time frame?
No,
where you think
no,
that she might
because,
be working?
No, because this, what I'm looking at, if I were to give a time frame, I would say for her to gain the mobility that I see her possibly having the opportunity to experience is going to be, it could be as long as 10 years.
Right.
Could be 15. Because this is a process. This is something that she'll go through. I hope you call me one day and say, Donna, she did it in 5. I mean, this is, they are just moving ahead so quickly. But you have to be thoughtful. You have to really examine things. You have to look at what risks may be involved in certain applications. And she has to be consulted. Do you want to be, quote, unquote, a guinea pig? Do you want to be part of these trials? Do you want to do this? Do you want to do that? Do you want to do the other? You want to do as much as you can with the mind, body. You want to make the body work. So exercise absolutely is mandatory. Keep those muscles strong and healthy.
Right. Exactly. I totally understand what you're saying. I appreciate that.
And when she writes her book, tell her to send me a copy.
Oh, she's actually being told to write because she actually wants to go to school to be a journalist, and she's already done some newspaper articles.
Well, it runs in the family. You do it and support her, and she'll do it, and I think you're both going to accomplish more than you ever dreamed.
All right. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome, Katrina. Thank you for calling in today.
All right. God bless you.
Thank you, dear. Blessings to you, too. This is Donna Sebo. My goodness, the hour's just flown by. Well, tomorrow we're going to be talking about love styles, yes, with Dr. Craig Martin. You know, it's just such a delight to be able to share the airwaves with you and with the wonderful people that we have the opportunity to bring into the Donna Sebo Show. There are so many wonderfully talented, good human beings, and we need to remember this. And if ever you're feeling like you're so alone and there's nothing really of value, remember, we've got all kinds of archives for the Donna Sebo Show right here on BBS. You can go in at any time and listen to the shows. And be inspired by people who have gone through all kinds of journeys. Remember, you're not alone in this experience of life. You are the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. It is so important that you implant that in your head and realize that life is a journey. And you're going to go through all kinds of adventures. But it means that you have something special to offer. And whenever you cross someone else's path, remember that they're there to perhaps bring a light into your life, and maybe you need to turn on your light to illuminate their way. We're all in this world together, and we make it what we want it to be. So if you don't like stinking thinking, then get around people that don't have it. The same with reading material or anything you watch on television. Use your power of choice. You have a right to do that. This is Donna Siebel. I know we're out of time. By the way, I've got so many good things to share with you. I want to thank those of you sending emails. We'll be back with you right here, same time, same place, here on BBS tomorrow. Take care. We'll be talking soon. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Siebel Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.